This episode is presented in part with the financial support of the International Narrative Short Film Festival, INSFF. Filmmakers, get noticed. A Man's POV is produced by Giracom. Giracom, seeing above. This podcast is also produced with the support of our patrons on Patreon, one of them being Annie Tanguay. Thank you so much. It's March, and we're back. sorry for the delay. We're a bit late this month. We usually post the episode a little bit earlier, but we are now on more platforms, so you can also find us on Stitcher and also on TuneIn Radio. So we're back at normal with two subjects this month. So last month, the show was actually cut into two episodes. We actually had a very good response with that episode about a short film. So one question came to mind. Is the short film label a legit type of cinema? Or is it just something you do until you can do a feature film? So this will be our first subject this month. Is short film a legit type of cinema? And we also have something coming from the news, which will be our second subject. And actually it comes from the great Donald Trump. The only one, yes. Should teachers have guns in classroom? Yes. That's a good question. Okay. Last month, I talked about a short film that I saw. And I had a pretty good response, so it brought me some other questions, like, is short film a legit type of cinema? First, let's define short film. Usually a short film is a film that is 30 minutes long or less. So, for a long time, it would not even be a question here. It used to be you do a short film so you can prove your value, and then you can get a producer for your feature film. But now you can find great short films. You have director or artists who are making only short films, or who keeps doing short films in between their feature films. Why? Because it's a good way to say what you have to say. It costs less. Good way to say what you have to say. With our actual life, to me, a short film is perfect. It doesn't take a lot of time. You can watch them anywhere, like you take the bus or any public transportation. If you have a young kid or more than one, taking 5 minutes or 10 minutes to watch a film may be doable, but sometimes sitting for 2 hours is a lot harder. Like I said, you go to work in the morning, you take the subway for, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes. Well, during that time, you can take your phone and put your earplugs, and then you watch a film. And 5-10 minutes is not much, and sometimes you don't feel like reading, you're tired, it's easier. Huh? And also, I'm coming back to you have kids, like I do. I have two little boys, love them to death. But sometimes, when they go to bed, sitting for 2 hours and watch a movie would bring me a little bit too late into the night. Well, in my situation, actually, night is 10 o'clock. It's night, okay? Deep in the night sometimes. If you're wondering, they're both under 2 years old. So yes, you get tired at night. So watching a short film, it could be like 15 or 20 minutes. You have the time to sit and relax, but it doesn't take too long, so you can still go to sleep after and not be too tired the next day. That's my first argument for short films. Also, some festivals now are giving them more room. Before, it used to be there just to, acknowledge the fact that some short films were nice and good, even good, but you were using it maybe to find the next David Lynch or the next Martin Scorsese. You know what? Maybe a great filmmaker is hiding there. You know, young and good, creative person. But now, tends to become a real category, even for a documentary. Short film documentary is actually starting to work too. And there are also great short film festival like the INSFF, who helps us by buying an ad. This is a great film festival. And it's only for short films. And there are now many festivals that features only short films because there are a lot of them. It doesn't cost as much as, well, sometimes it does, but usually it doesn't cost as much as a feature film. You know, you can find great short films that costs almost nothing. So you should look around, and if you're not used to watch short films, maybe you should try. There are many places, there are many websites where you can find them and watch them online for free. I'll give you some links in the description of this episode. Maybe some people will say, well, if I'm going to watch a film, well, I want to sit there for at least an hour and a half so I can forget everything around. Well, yes, it can be it's true. Sometimes you need more time to relax, but sometimes you don't have that much time, so it's a good option too to just take a few minutes and you can always watch two or three in a row, you know? It's what's the difference? It's like when you watch a TV series, like binge watching. So it's the same. You can watch three, four, five short films in a row if you want. You go by topics and or by director, or you can find some really nice stuff. I have seen some great ones, let's say in the last year and a half. I'll give you some titles and I'll put the links also in the description on the website. Internal dialogue about immigration and terrorism, which I talked to you about in my last episode, episode 5. You can listen to it if you want to find out more about this film. Very, very good. Not really a documentary, but let's say it's kind of a documentary. Anyway, I saw also Mia, a great, great fiction, I would say documented fiction, about a young couple who loves the BDSM style. Backstory. A very good one about where you follow one character through his whole life. It's like 7 minutes. And a great one if you love or if you hate Christmas, 24 Days of Torture. I love this little thing. If you like more like horror films, Into the Mud would be a good one, or Birthday, an Italian short film. If you're a fan of Michel Gondry, which I am, you can watch Detour, a nice short film made with an iPhone and a lot of equipment, but still. Pink or Blue, if you want to go more into social, and that's a very good one too. The difference between boys and girls, always a good subject. And something more dark, I would say, is called Seen Through the Eyes of Children. This is a bit shocking. It's drawings made by kids, young kids, that will maybe change the way you look at them and the way you look at war. So I'll put all those links in the description. Maybe you should start there if you're not familiar with short films. That was just a tiny little part here in this episode where I wanted to say that I do think that short film is now a legit type of cinema, and maybe we should start looking at it more seriously and take the time, or a little bit of time, to get into it. So look for the links in the description. Okay. I wasn't sure if I was gonna talk about this subject here, but apparently every week there's a new headline that say, hey, you should still talk about it. So guns. I'll go here with the greats. I'll go here with the what Donald Trump, yeah, I love him, said. Guns in classroom. Should we give weapons to teachers? Like I said, I thought I'm late this month here. I'm a little late this month, you know. Usually I record this show early in the month, and now we're at the end of the month. So I was like, ah, oh, man, this subject may not be good anymore. Well, Americans keep blowing my mind. I mean, how can this subject be in the headlines week after week after week after week? It's crazy. It's crazy. So, should we give weapons to teachers? Well, to me, the answer is pretty simple. Do I have to say it? No! Teachers are not there to shoot people. But let's look at this with a clear head, in case I would be wrong. Huh? So, of course, Trump and the NRA say that having firearms would deter attacks. Yeah. We can see it, huh? Americans have guns everywhere, and they also have mass shootings every week, sometimes twice a week. Yeah, it helps having guns everywhere to, deter attacks. Yeah. And I read somewhere that being a high school teacher is the second or third most stressing job from all types of jobs. Teaching in a high school to teenagers, is the second or third most stressing job. It is more stressing than being in the army. And stress can be the cause of unthink gesture. Pressure is going higher, you're more stressed, you're going mad because you're going to explode. You have a gun just under your desk or in your drawer. What stupid move could you do? Then, I read that each year, every single year in the US, 21 people get killed by a toddler. A toddler who was playing with a gun. How the fuck can 21 people get killed by toddlers with guns every year? It's almost 10 times the number of people in the US who get killed by a terrorist each year. Well, actually, it's more than 10 times. Okay. If someone attacks you with a gun and you have a gun, well, you can shoot him. Well, at least you can try. While he shoots you. Huh? You can try to shoot him while he shoots you. Ah, it evens out. It's true. When you are in the middle of the street with the wind blowing, the saloon open at the corner of the street, the horses going. Oh wait, that was like 400 years, 300 years ago. Oh yeah. So now in a school, he shoots at you, you shoot at him. There are 30, 40 students sitting or running around. So you can both shoot many people when the shooting is done. Sounds like a police movie, or like we are in Team America, you know, destroying the whole city to kill one terrorist and then saying, yeah, we saved them. How many kids will you kill by trying to kill the terrorist? Should teachers be trained to like master weapons, firearms? I don't know. But what if nobody was able to buy guns? Yeah, I know. Second Amendment. Yeah. But didn't that thing hasn't that thing been written like in the 1700s? Like I said earlier, like one-on-one shooting with a gun, then putting the powder back in it, pushing the little stick so the powder is well tapped, and then you put the bullet in, then you shoot. Wow. That's true. You won't kill a lot of people in like mass shootings. I mean, you're gonna get killed by a rock before you shoot twice. Or maybe three times if you have two guns. But didn't life changed since then? I mean, you can like westerns, but you still don't go around in the city on a horse. I mean, why can Americans still have guns? And they should, and it's protected by the Second Amendment, but riding on horses is not. I mean, it's transportation. Anyway, another thing. Should teachers have to focus on something else than teaching? Isn't it enough already? I mean, they are already trying to help so many students learning, and most of the time it's already very hard because They have to take care of too many children, too many teenagers. Should they have to learn how to use a weapon, like a firearm, shooting on, well, on every Saturday they should go to the shooting range? Would be fun, huh? Well, maybe it would be a good way to make more money for shooting range. I mean, with every teacher's in the system. Another argument is to have any trained people in school ready to shoot if a bad person comes would help. But what is a bad person? I mean, is a bad person someone who's wearing a scarf on their head? Is a bad person someone who has a beard? Is a bad person having yellow hair? I mean, what is a bad person? If I don't believe in the same thing you do, well then to me, you are a bad person. But to you, I am a bad person? Should I shoot myself if I'm against what you think? I don't know. That's a solid argument here, huh? We can stop bad person, bad people. Because in the world, you have the good ones and the bad ones. That's a clear cut. We learned that in Hollywood films, huh? You have the good ones, the bad ones. The good ones, they always shoot the bad ones easily. That's how it works. So if teachers had guns, it means that as soon as the bad person comes, that bad person gets killed, and maybe the city is destroyed, but nobody, no good person gets killed. Yeah. Maybe I don't see any logical in those firearms everywhere, because I am a Canadian living in the province of Quebec. So maybe that's why this whole debate seems so futile. We don't have guns anywhere. You have to prove that you are sane to have one for hunting. And if you want one that is not for hunting, you have to prove it too. Every guns are registered. So we know who has one, where it is. We can check everything if there's a shooting, which, well, almost never happens, and which is a good thing, by the way. So maybe that's why I don't understand this whole debate. To me, it's like, how can these people not see the problem? Lately, though, and that's that's something that will be different from what I would have said a few weeks ago, but apparently young Americans are tired of this shit. There's this movement that seems to grow every few days. I don't recall the exact name, but it's like no more guns, and they want to regulate at least the semi-automatic weapons, which is to me a fucking damn minimum. But still, the Washington Post and ABC News made a poll. I think it was last week. Apparently, 42% of Americans think that having teachers with guns would have prevented the Florida shooting. What the fuck? 42%! Damn! Those Americans. Well, what do you guys think of it? I would love to read comments about these two subjects. If you can leave them either on my website or on Facebook or Twitter or everywhere I am, Patreon, I'd love it. Follow the links in the description of this episode if you wanna talk about either guns or short films. I'll write them down. Maybe you even know a short film about the place guns should have in society. I would love to hear about that because I know many feature films like Elephant from Gus Van Sant, which is one of the great ones I saw about Columbine. There are also documentaries by Michael Moore. But short films, I don't know any. So I'd love to hear what you have to say about that. And as always, if you like this episode, please share it on social. It would help me a lot get people to know this podcast. You can also follow us on Facebook and support us on Patreon. The links are also in the description, as the link for all the films I talked about in the first part. Thank you for listening.